Welcome to the Mystical Order Ministries International, where the work of remembering the faithful, anchoring the soul, and building character never really stops.
Today, we're covering tributes to spiritual Baptist leaders who shaped communities in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, alongside devotional writing on trust, divine guidance, and what it actually looks like to live with integrity and gratitude.
Let's start with the memorials and the lives they're honoring.
These tributes are asking a specific question. What does a life of faithful service within the spiritual Baptist tradition actually leave behind? And how should the community receive that legacy?
Patriarch Godfrey Gregg opens the brief on teacher pointer Selwyn Porter of Mount Moriah Spiritual Baptist Church with an epigraph that sets the whole frame. "Blessed are those who lay the foundation so that others may build upon it. The servant of God who plants in faith shall be remembered in the harvest of eternity."
The upshot is that Porter's title wasn't ceremonial. As pointer, he guided seekers through the morning ground, interpreting visions, ushering people into deeper spiritual understanding. That's a role carrying real pastoral weight, and the brief says those he guided spoke of the experience with reverence.
The same community of Chateau Belair appears in the tribute to Archdeacon Reval Harry of St. Bethel Spiritual Baptist Church, described as a torchbearer who stood in conscious awareness of those who suffered under the Shouter Prohibition Ordinance. Reverend Duffwalker James receives a similar affirmation: quiet strength, ecumenical spirit, a shepherd's heart for the vulnerable. And the memorial for Pointer Elon Richards of Arno's Vale calls him a custodian of sacred traditions who planted faith in ground others found arid.
What connects all four is that phrase the briefs return to: trailblazer. Not fame, but the willingness to bear the cost of progress so those who follow walk in greater freedom.
From remembering those who held the tradition, the devotional writing turns to the question of what it means to trust the God they served.
This segment is about what faith looks like when God feels absent or the path is unclear, and whether trust is a feeling or something sturdier.
Patriarch Godfrey Gregg opens "He Hides in Me" with a line that does a lot of work quietly: "It is good to walk with God in the dark." The whole piece turns on the idea that divine hiddenness isn't abandonment. It's the mode through which transformation happens, like daybreak coming without announcement.
What this means in practice is that the post isn't counseling passive resignation. It's describing a God who is present and active even when undetected, changing beliefs, loves, and habits in the background.
"When my soul fainted" pushes into darker territory. The anchor there is Jonah 2:7, remembering God's promises, mighty deeds, and attributes as medicine when the soul gives out. The logic is cumulative. His promises are stars kindled for the darkest night. His deeds prove he has delivered multitudes before you. His attributes are all enlisted on your side.
Walking in Divine Trust by Patriarch Gregg frames it as a conviction, not a feeling. Trust begins where human understanding ends, and the examples of Abraham and Joseph are there to show that divine trust through delay and betrayal still arrives at purpose.
"Keep watching" adds the dimension of readiness. Whatever the day brings, ordinary labor or suffering or gladness, the posture stays the same. "And weep not, brethren" turns toward grief specifically, arguing that the gospel has changed the character of death itself.
Every good and perfect gift supplies the theological spine underneath all of it. If God did not spare his own son, the logic runs, he will not withhold lesser gifts. There is only one name narrows the frame further. Salvation is not available through any substitute, however culturally respected.
Archbishop Andres Cuo's "Walking in the Light of God's Word" and Patriarch Darren Dell Johnson's "The Hope of Eternal Life" both extend the same thread: scripture as a living guide, an eternal hope as a present reality that shapes daily living, not just a distant comfort. Having a sound mind closes it out with the practical triad: not fear, but power, love, and discipline.
Taken together, these posts are mapping the interior life of someone who trusts God across every condition, hiddenness, grief, uncertainty, waiting. The consistency of that posture is the point.
Which leads naturally to the outward expression, what that interior life looks like when it meets other people.
This segment is about character as it shows up in behavior. The gap between what we profess and how we actually live, and what it costs to close it.
Matriarch Elnette Edwards anchors this with a story about her father, a custodian who found a wallet with several $100s and returned it. His explanation, Elnette, your character is worth more than any amount of money. Once you compromise your integrity, you've sold something you can never buy back.
She draws the direct line to ministry. People watch how leaders live, not just what they say. Talent opens doors, but character sustains you in them.
Queen Abbess Patricia Hackshaw's piece on gentleness runs alongside this. The argument that gentleness is not weakness, but the courage to respond with grace, even under pressure. Patriarch Greg returns twice to the parable of the 10 lepers in The Return of the Leper and Don't Be Ungrateful, pressing on the same nerve. Ingratitude is a failure of character, not just of manners. And the blessings in giving closes the loop. Generosity as the natural consequence of having received grace.
The through line is that Christian character isn't measured in grand moments, but in the small, unobserved ones. The returned wallet, the soft answer, the thanksgiving when 9 others walked on.
A community that pauses to name its faithful dead teaches its living members to trust in the dark and measures character in unobserved moments. That's a coherent vision of what a ministry is for.
The next episode will show us where that vision goes next. We'll be watching.